Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
I'm Marty Goldenson, in for Brian Lehrer. You might just be getting used to the TV shows going off the air, or at least the new jokes going off the air. Well, get ready to add Broadway shows to the entertainment you may have to do without, thanks to labor action. Right now, Stagehands Union is embroiled in a dispute with theater producers over work rules, and the union has just received authorization to strike, as you may have just heard on the news. They haven't set a date, but you may need to rethink even your weekend plans because it could happen as early as tonight, according to the New York Post. Joining me now to look at why Broadway might go dark, a couple of guests whose names have just escaped me. Oh, yes. David Cody, who is theater critic for Time Out New York, and Robert Villegas, who's with Playbill Radio. Hi, guys. Nice to have you on.
Morning, Mr. Cody. How are you?
Hi. How you doing?
All right. Should I just leave? You guys want to talk to each other?
Well, yeah, I suspect that Robert would have more, like, sort of industry knowledge of what's going on, because Playbill really keeps its ear to the ground as far as the labor.
Right. Well, let's start with this labor thing. What's the point of contention here? Why are stagehands unhappy?
Well, you know, over the years, the various work rules have been put into place that have been very favorable to the unions. You know, in the old days, the producers would take terrible advantage of people in the theater, and they developed a very strong union movement, especially back in the 20s and 30s, and that has only grown over the years. The big issue in this particular strike this year, this particular contention, is what they call the load-in, when the stagehands put the lights, the sets, all the things into the Broadway theaters. Right now, the way it stands, they have to pay the entire crew for the entire time that they load in the theater. The producers want to say, well, first the set people bring their thing, and we only want to pay the set people for that. Then the lighting people come in, and we only want to have to pay the lighting people for the time that they actually work. The union feels that they paid actors, whether they're on stage or not. They don't just pay them for the amount of time that they're on the stage, and so they feel that the stagehands should be paid the same way. They should pay the entire crew for the entire time, and the League of American Theaters and Producers, that's the organization of Broadway producers, mm-hmm. they are determined to hold the line on this.
Yeah. Now, it's interesting because I'm an old sort of pro-union person, right? But even so, my first reaction was, oh, there's some feather bedding going on here. And you have to keep the place going. But the way you just described, I'm thinking, no, if you have to be there, you should be paid. You know, what strikes you as common sense here?
Well, you know, a lot of these rules over the years, a lot of the more abusive rules have been changed. They used to have a thing where you had to pay musicians whether you used you had to pay a certain number of musicians for a certain theater, whether you used that number of musicians or not, or whether you even had a musical in the theater or not. They called them walkers, and that's been mitigated over the years. And you know, they have been they've been trying to change some of these rules, and I've heard both sides. I've heard both sides put their feelings very passionately. And if it were a simple black and white, we wouldn't be in the situation we're in now.
Robert, do you want to chime in here, Villegas?
Yes, that's me.
Yes.
Sorry, it's David.
I'm sorry, David. You want to? I'm sorry, that's me.
Yeah, you know, it's obviously hideously complicated, and the stagehands, the workers, the electricians, they all have to make a living off of a show.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm friends with many musicians, and God knows that the producers are trying to automate as much of the orchestra as they can to sort of phase out musicians. But I find myself very divided on this issue, because it seems like if the producers are able to shave off as many costs associated, and they are hideous, ridiculous costs associated with putting up a show,
sure.
Among them also marketing, some incredibly inflated prices for costume pieces. I mean, when the Pirate Queen, which is a flop, you know, that opened and closed in about 2 months, they had like shirts that cost $8,000 in that costume rack, and that just boggled my mind.
Mm.
I thought theater was in the business of illusion, not, you know, as you say, feather bedding designers' pockets. But so, I mean, I would love to see producers be able to shave down the costs of a production as much as possible.
Sure.
That way more plays would be produced, you know, not just musicals, but plays that maybe were more economical. So if they didn't fill the house every night, they could still stay afloat for a few months.
Yeah. You know. Ultimately, though, the union has all the power in this case because a lot of them have strike funds, and they're going now. They have the support of the international union. So essentially, that's what happened yesterday. The head of the international union stepped in and went up to the bargaining table with the producers and said, "Let's see if we can work something out," because the local hadn't been able to. At the end of the day, the head of the international union said, "We will support the local if they go on a strike," which is a very big step closer. The thing is, the producers only get their money from selling tickets. The producers essentially have a gun to their own heads, saying, "If you don't do what we say, we're going to shoot." Because once those shows are closed down, those producers don't make any money anymore, and the stagehands continue to get a payment from their union.
So if they have a gun to their own head, this will be Blazing Saddles opening on Broadway, right?
Well, ironically, you mentioned Mel Brooks.
Yeah.
His is one of the theaters that would not be closed down by this strike. They didn't get the greatest reviews this morning. If the rest of Broadway goes on strike, Mel Brooks, Mary Poppins, and a few of the institutional theaters will be the only shows on Broadway.
Why are they exceptions?
The people who own those theaters are not members of the league. They negotiated their own contracts separately. And the union is content with their contract, and they will continue to serve those theaters. And, of course, you know, the off-Broadway theaters would also benefit tremendously from something like this. All these tourists coming into town, that will be the only other thing that they have to see if they want to see a live show.
Before you jump in, I just want to remind people, my name is Marty Goldenson. I'm in for Brian Lehrer, who's out today. And I'm speaking with David Cody, who is with theater critic for Time Out New York, and also Robert Villegas with Playbill. You were about to let's give this sort of wider picture here. You know, we've covered sort of what the points of contention are and the work rules stuff, which you could never quite figure out unless you're inside it what makes sense, and even then it's probably just point of view. And we understand that like about 27 shows would come to a halt, and which ones won't. Interesting timing for the union to say we want to deal with this now with the Thanksgiving rush coming in. That's a big blow to the city economy, no?
Tremendous. And tremendous blow to Broadway as well. I mean, this is their biggest time of year. It's their busiest time. And that's one of the reasons that they have not rushed into a strike.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they know that the pressure will be higher.
Yeah, sorry. It's an interesting time right now in terms of the programming on. I mean, not that it's organized from one particular place, but the way things have fallen out in terms of this fall season. I mean, by my count, between now and end of December, there are going to be about 13 new plays or play revivals on Broadway. I mean, there are basically just two musical openings:
mm-hmm.
Young Frankenstein, which opened, of course, and
Frankenstein, by the way.
What's that?
You remember the movie, Frankenstein.
Oh,
yeah, you've got to pronounce it right. Yeah.
You make an excellent point. This is a boom fall for dramas, and of course they all have to be loaded in.
Yeah. What I'm interested in, and I don't know the answer to this, but I'll raise it, we, in Time Out, we started recently listing the full ticket range, which can go from like $26 to $200 or $300 for premium
mm-hmm.
seats. I'm just curious if producers are recouping what they theoretically are losing to, like, say, the inflated union fees. I wonder if they're making that back by this premium seating or what. I mean, if the union were to make some concessions, would they backtrack on the premium seating?
Well, you know, they announced already this morning at a Young Frankenstein, after the reviews came out, that they released a whole group of tickets at a lower price, the $120 price, because their top price is $450. But, you know, the discussion of ticket pricing, that's a whole other discussion. Essentially,
yes.
ticket prices, which used to be very regimented, now essentially float. I mean, you can go online, you can go all sorts of places and get all sorts of very deep discounts if you're willing to be flexible on date and place you sit.
Right. Well, speaking of tickets,
if you want to see something like this Saturday in the center, you have to pay big bucks for it. So the range has now become tremendous. That's an interesting service.
Yeah, but let me get back to this strike and tickets, which is, you know, what you've been through this before. You've seen this before. What happens to people who hold tickets that they've already purchased if there is a strike? What's the tradition there?
I mean, they'll be able to get refunds on those.
They
have a fund for that. They hold a fund for that, and they will be able to get refunds on those. But it's a huge hassle. People hate to have to do that.
And speaking of traditions, what have mayors, you know, like Bloomberg, have they, you know, walked in to stop these things? It's such a big blow to the city. You know?
Well, I would think that he should. I mean, it will be a big hassle to people, especially since the league just released a report that 65% of Broadway audiences are tourists, and they're not going to, you know, just cool their heels here in New York until the strike blows over.
That's right.
So if you're just in for the weekend or for even 3 or 4 days, you could be really out of luck as far as your tickets go.
Right. Yeah. And this strike, or this potential strike, is kind of in the shadow of an actual strike they had in 2003 when the musicians went on strike. And in that case, Mayor Bloomberg stepped in, and he didn't stop the strike. He doesn't have that power. But what he did was he sort of locked them in a room and said, I want you guys to be grown-ups. I want you to sit there, and I want you to come up with a solution to this. And they did. They've asked, the producers have asked Bloomberg to do that again, and Bloomberg has now said that he is not going to do that. He is not going to, that he hopes that they come to a decision, that he will make himself available, but he is not going to push them to the wall as he did last time.
Interesting. Can we go over, just give me like 1 second of understanding here. Do you think that the stagehands have the support of the other theater workers and actors, which is to say, is there going to be picket line crossing or solidarity here?
Well, this goes back to what I was saying about the shadow of the 2003 strike. The 2003 strike was the musicians. Previous to that, these unions they'd all been on their own. They'd all kind of been mavericks. After that strike, which, if you recall, was supported by the actors, which was a key in ending the strike, they formed a group called COBUG, the Coalition of Broadway Unions and Guilds. They now consult with one another on these things. And I think you would see, if something like that happened, the other unions would fall into solidarity behind the stagehands.
Yes.
There's really only a couple of different production models on Broadway, it seems, in terms of set, costume, lights. I mean, I'm sure that there are producers out there who envision a totally, you know, computer-generated set and an automated orchestra and 3 or 4 actors who can, you know, sing like American Idol. And they're hoping that tourists will like flock to the, you know, by the thousands to see it. But right now, I think that the musicians, the stagehands, the actors, they sort of all have to hang together because that's Broadway. Broadway is this wonderfully obsolete but, you know, potentially lucrative art form. I mean, I love theater. I'm not saying it's obsolete, but you know what I'm saying.
I have to disagree slightly. The producers do want to put on Broadway shows, but they would like to try to quell some of these, what they see as excesses. It, as far as money is concerned, Broadway made $939 million last year. They are on track this year to have the first billion-dollar Broadway season.
Well, see, that's interesting to me, because that underlies the whole thing, which is if they're on the thin edge of non-profitability, of going under, then the strike's got a lot of power. When they have a lot of money, I assume they expect to do well, the union.
Well, this is precisely
but
what
they're
doing.
It also allows the owners to hold out, right? The producers to hold out.
Right.
But traditionally, have these been long strikes?
No. Traditionally, the strikes are settled pretty quickly. There was a strike in the 70s that lasted a couple of weeks. The strike in 2003 lasted only 3.5 days. I would be very surprised if this went on and on, especially at the time of year.
Yes, that makes sense. In the minute we have left, just go over a little bit more of where we started, which is, just so it's dead clear, what do these guys do, and are they really being pressured to stand around and, you know, wait their turn to do it and not get paid? You know, is this really, in some ways, a speed-up or a hard on the workers?
Well, you know, the stagehands do a number of different things. There's one thing that they do when they load in the show when the show is starting up, and another thing that they do when the show is in the midst of its run. I mean, during the midst of its run, they just make sure everything is in the right place and everybody has their right costumes and all these other things. But the issue here is specifically what happens when a show is being put into the theater and the producers want to decrease that, because that's a huge expense before they're really making money.
Right, carrying stuff in.
Ticket prices are, before the tickets are rolling in, it's a huge expense at a delicate moment, and they're trying to reduce that risk to make putting on a show a little bit more reasonable.
Well, what is the sort of flop-hit ratio there? Because that's important, it seems to me,
this
issue.
Well, in recent years, a lot of musicals have actually survived and lasted for 2 or 3 years. I mean, 25th Annual Putnam County Spelling Bee just announced its closing at the end of January. But no one really expected that thing to run so long. It was in a smaller house, so it was a you know, a lovely little quirky show. But I would say that there's actually things are really healthy on Broadway for, say, musical comedies right now. Yeah. I mean, it's still, the ratio is still, what, a quarter of the
one in ten is a hit. This is what the producers say. The producers say that looking at just the bottom line figure is misleading, because there are a couple of people who are becoming super millionaires, and the vast majority are losing money.
What's that saying? You can
make a fortune, but not a career.
Yeah, you can't make a living.
Right. You can make a fortune, but not a living. Exactly.
Interesting. Finally, even if it lasts a week, this strike, does that help Off-Broadway?
Oh, I think it would be a tremendous boon to Off-Broadway because people come to New York, as was mentioned by my colleague. 2/3 of the audience is from out of town. One of the things they want to see when they come to New York is a show. They want to see a live show. And if there's only 5 shows playing on Broadway, and there will be just Ritz, Mauritania, Pygmalion. I'm sorry.
Pygmalion.
Yeah. Ritz, Mauritania, Pygmalion, Mary Poppins, and Young Frankenstein will be it for Broadway.
And Cymbeline at Lincoln Center Theater.
Yeah. And other than that, it'll be off Broadway, and off Broadway could use your shot.
Interesting. So, guys, we're out of time.
No one any good.
We're out of time, but this has been wonderful and very helpful. I'm getting a sense of it. That's David Cote, who's theater critic for Time Out, and Robert Villegas, who is host of Playbill Radio. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you, Mr. Cote.
Marty.